First Kings chapter 10. The last time I spoke to you about Solomon, it was about Solomon when two women who were harlots came posing the question, whose is the living child? And tonight, an opposite extreme that cannot be imagined. This time, not harlots, but a queen, the Queen of Sheba. And so in 1 Kings chapter 10, you'll also find this in Chronicles, but here, starting at verse 1, let me read to you through verse 10. 1 Kings 10, 1 through 10. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Let me tell you something interesting about this word. The word hard questions is the same word that Samson used when he said to the Philistines, I have a riddle for you. So this word involves dark sayings, riddles, questions, things that pose a problem, a hard to solve. And so she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And she was come to Solomon. She communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascension by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants that stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very much store, and precious stones. There came no such abundance of spices as these, which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Now, the beauty of this portion is that what we read of historically here, we read of from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse 42. Matthew chapter 12, 42. The queen of the south, that is the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that as the world has its stories and its fables and its literature, so our Father, the Holy Bible has the same. And yet our God, of all things that man has penned, you have selected by thy Spirit those that are of lasting worth. And we have them before our eyes. We have them of old, and we have them in the new, and we have them explained and commented on. And our Father, this is a treasure to us. Let us know that some parts are so difficult to understand. The deep theological questions, our God. But then, there are other portions similar to those that we could experience in our own lives to a lesser degree, our God, because who has the wisdom of Solomon, and who among us has a queen to come and visit and ask questions? But our Father, similar things, and therefore we are able to understand them. And we desire to learn from thy word to the blessing of our souls and an enrichment of our wisdom as this queen was benefited when she came to Solomon. So help us to this end this night. Father, we would pray for ourselves. We are glad that physically we are able to be here. But our God, let us know the weakness of our souls. Let us know that your Son said the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so our God, as some who are your children, but the flesh is weak, we pray for them, and we pray for ourselves. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But our God, with all the treasure that thou hast given us, help us to avail ourselves of it, and let our souls be blessed from our consideration of this portion, these portions that we've read tonight. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I read you some weeks back about the wisdom of Solomon, that God gave Solomon abundance of wisdom and understanding and largeness of heart as the sand that is on the seashore. And it spoke about the extent of his wisdom and the spread of that wisdom. And it said when people heard it, they wanted to come and listen to that wisdom of Solomon. Well, our Lord Jesus tells us how far his reputation spread when it reached the Queen of Sheba, who came from the ends of the earth. And what is of interest is this. If the geographical experts that tell us where this Queen of Sheba came from, in that documentary we saw the other Wednesday night, it was in Arabia, and it was close to the very bottom, and it was close to the place where the children of Israel passed when they went out of Egypt to go into the promised land. And it is there, it is this peninsula, and it's at the end of it, and this is where the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, came from. And so think, and this is the way some people tell us, it said that Solomon's reputation spread because where she came from were spices and all of these interesting things that would be of importance to people around the world. And when they would go there, the conversation would come up about King Solomon and his wisdom and his greatness, his splendor. All of these things would come up. And it came to the ear of the queen, and evidently she had heard the details about this reputation of Solomon. And she said to herself, I do not believe it. No man could have such splendor, and no man could have such wisdom. But what happens is this. You and I hear of things like that, and we do nothing about it. We simply say, nobody could be that wise. In like manner, people, when we tell them the excellence of the Word of God, they say, it can't be true. No book could be that great. And I've heard people say, why, I'm not interested in that Bible because it's full of contradictions. And you say to them, well, tell me some of them. Well, I just know they're there. Well, which one are you familiar with? Well, I can't tell you anyone there, but I know that they're there. That's what they tell you. But some have tried to find these contradictions, and some bring them to us. And then that puts us to the task of explaining them and showing that there aren't these contradictions in the Bible. Well, what happened was that the reputation of King Solomon reached as far, in this instance, as the end of the earth, because I remember when I was a young boy, I used to go from Raleigh, North Carolina, down to a place called Holly Springs. And at that time, it was a long, long journey just to go those few miles. Today, it would be nothing to us. But back then, it was. And when, in the days of Christ, our Savior came from Nazareth down to be baptized of John in the River Jordan, that was a long journey. And when the Queen of Sheba said, I am going to put this Solomon to the test, it was a great undertaking and a long journey for her. But this woman, and thank God for those with such spirit, she said, I am going to test this man. I'm going to travel this great distance, and I'm going to see if all the things that I've heard about him are true. Thank God for such people. I want you to remember that, because what happens is that we speak about salvation in this twofold way. That God gave it to us from heaven, and then God sends his ministers, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so that's the side of salvation that most people think about. That God gave it, and here are sinners, and we go and carry that message to sinners. But that's just one side. The other side is this, to find out if this salvation came from heaven, and to find out if it is true by going and searching for yourself all these things that you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God holds us responsible for both of them. Some men are going to say, well, nobody ever told me. The Lord Jesus brings this woman as an illustration for those that do not complain about God not telling me. But he uses this woman as an illustration of one who went and sought out the wisdom of Solomon. She went from the ends of the earth to prove this wisdom of Solomon to see if it was true. And the Lord Jesus said this, and it's something remarkable that we would never know about the judgment and the resurrection, but it's this, that just as we have a trial before a jury and witnesses come in, and there are character witnesses, and there are witnesses who will condemn the person who is on trial, and there are witnesses who will come and give them a defense, showing that they're not guilty, they're innocent. Do you realize that our Savior says, and this is the meaning of the word so often, it says, the Queen of Sheba shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here. So think, if here is a man that simply has wisdom about the things of earth, and it was of such importance to the Queen of Sheba that she went to all of this trouble and difficulty to get to this man who had answers to earthly questions. How great is the responsibility of us who have heard of this one who came from heaven and has the mind of God and the truth of heaven, and he can explain it to our hearts. How great is our responsibility at all events and at all troubles to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, to get to him to find the answers that have to do with the salvation of our soul. And yet here is such a strange thing. It is appointed unto men once to die. And whether we think about it or not, everybody knows we're going to die. And they know that something is on the other side or something is not on the other side. But in their hearts, the Spirit of God tells them that there is an eternity. And yet, they will not trouble themselves to go to one who can tell them about what is on the other side. How to be sure that when they leave this world and go into the next, they have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And the Lord Jesus said that this woman in the coming day, when she thinks of all the difficulty that was involved in her getting to Solomon to hear his wisdom, and then she hears about the Lord Jesus Christ and the wisdom that he brought from heaven, and the people that were living in his generation, and they would not trouble themselves to go and listen to his wisdom. She said, "You are to be condemned. I, a woman, went to this trouble to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and the Son of God comes from heaven, and you would not go, inconvenience yourselves, to hear the wisdom of the Son of God from heaven." And so think of this. In the coming day now, because the Lord Jesus gave us this illustration, I would think that when I stood before God, that the books would be opened, and when the books were opened, the things that I had done and the things that I had failed to do, all of these things would be taken into consideration. And if my name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I was cast into the lake of fire. But the Lord Jesus tells us here that they're going to be witnesses called, and they're going to speak in our defense, or they're going to speak the truth, and what they say concerning us will condemn us. And the Lord Jesus is going to listen. He is the one that is going to sit on that great white throne. And inasmuch as these are they who would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ that they might have life, it says that this woman, this Queen of Sheba, is going to stand up and bear witness against them. So let's think of this. While the Savior tells us in all the Gospels about the preaching of the Gospel and that we are sent to carry the Gospel to the ends of the earth, he also tells us this. He says, strive to enter in by the narrow door, by the straight gate, for many shall seek to enter in that day and shall not be able. You see what he says there? He does not say, now wait until someone comes and tells you the way of heaven. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And I'm thinking of this. Do you realize that if Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, had not done what the Queen of Sheba did to hear the wisdom of Solomon, if he had not exerted himself, if he had not had that determination to lay hold on the Lord Jesus Christ for healing, he would have remained blind the rest of his life. And so here is the Lord Jesus, and he's passing by, and Bartimaeus asked the question, what is all this multitude? What is happening? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And when he heard that, he started crying out, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And he cried out with such intensity and with such loudness that the people said, quiet, quiet. But he refused to be quiet, and he kept crying out. And finally, the Lord Jesus stopped. And he said, bring him to me. And he said, what do you want? He said, Lord, I want my eyes to be opened. And the Lord Jesus said, what you've desired is granted unto you. Be opened. Now think of that. What if he had listened to those that said, keep quiet, it's not the thing to do. But he was determined to get this blessing from the Lord Jesus. And so there are some, and I think of this, I think of the Lord Jesus coming to me. I did not seek after him, but he sought after me. I've told you, when I was a young boy, perhaps 12 years old, Brother Edwards in Raleigh, North Carolina, witnessed to me and took me to a meeting, and he had a chart. I think it was from eternity to eternity, and he preached from that chart, and God was seeking me then. And when I was in California, I did not go to church seeking the Lord, but some of the Navy boys came and sought me. And so it may well have been that had God in his graciousness not sought after me, it may be that I never would have learned the wisdom and salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are some who seek after this wisdom and salvation, and they are determined to learn what it is. And so God is holding us responsible. He holds us responsible when someone does come to us to listen to their testimony concerning Christ. And he holds us responsible that if they do not come to us, that we go to them to learn. So let us take this lesson to heart. So think now, this Queen of Sheba finally arrives, and when she does arrive, before she hears anything, she stands before that magnificent temple that God has given the pattern out from heaven, how to build it, and there it is in all its magnificence. And she's never seen anything like that in her whole life. And that is where Solomon worshipped. And then she comes to his palace and sees the magnificent palace in which Solomon lives. And then when she goes to dine with him, she sees everything and its arrangement, his servants, and it says this. She was so impressed because all the goblets out of which the people who sat at Solomon's table drank were made of pure gold. It said silver was accounted nothing in those days. And she saw all the food, the magnificent spread of food that was upon his table, and the settings of the table, and the servants, and the way that she was attended to. And this is most important. People have tried to give it a different translation, but I specifically emphasized when she saw his ascension to the temple. It says it here, it says it in Chronicles, and you can check the same word elsewhere in the Bible, and it is the ascension, the going up to the temple. And so here is Solomon, and he is a worshiper. And so in the secular sense, everything is splendor. And at the same time, when he went to worship his God in this temple that God had ordained to be built, the way in which it was to be built, it said that there was no spirit left in her. And then, having seen all of these things, having been entertained, she sat down and started asking him questions. Everything that had ever troubled her, it said that Solomon was able to answer all her questions. And so when she saw all of this, then from her own lips came this confession. She said, I've heard of thee with the speaking of the lips, but now mine eyes have seen. Do you remember that Job said a similar thing? So here is an earthly example of a woman who had heard of the reputation of Solomon, but then she went and saw and heard, and therefore it was no longer what she had heard, but she had seen. And Job said, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee. And he humbled himself and he repented in sackcloth and ashes, in dust and ashes. And so here is this woman, and her trip had not been in vain. There are questions that puzzle us, and we think about them our whole life long, but we are never so strong in our determination to find an answer to those problems. It's just like Tommy trying to find out the answers in the book of Revelation. I've been trying it too all of these years. And some things I know for certain, and other things I'm still uncertain about. But what is so remarkable is this, that if I happened to be there with John on the Isle of Patmos, and the angel was there, I think I would have asked him more questions than John did, and he would have given more answers. But the thing was this, that there are answers, and angels know the answers to those questions, and there are questions that trouble us on earth. And understand, we're not told that it was her troubled soul that came to seek for salvation, but no doubt there were spiritual questions, religious questions that were involved. But it made no difference whether she asked about trees or beasts or birds or fishes. It made no difference. It said that Solomon could answer all of those questions. And in like manner, concerning questions of religion and morality, read the book of Proverbs and read the book of Ecclesiastes and read the two Psalms that he composed, and you will understand that Solomon was ever so interested in religious matters as well. And so as much as any man could know about religion at that time, Solomon, enabled of God, was able to answer all her questions. And that is the one thing that I thank God for, that the study that I've made of the Word of God, some of the truths are so precious. And people come and they will ask questions, and they seem so elementary now, the answers that I give, but to them, they've never heard those answers. They never realized that the answers were in the Word of God. And I remember at our men's study, when Wolfgang was there at first, he would ask questions, and I would not even answer the question. I would say, turn to this verse of Scripture. And he would turn and read it and smile, because the thing that was on his mind, I did not have any wisdom to answer it. I simply was familiar with the wisdom that was contained in this book, and I was able to tell it. And in like manner, I've been at funerals, and wives have asked about the husband now that he's gone. Where is my husband? I can remember that. A woman that should have known but said, where is my husband? And I was able to simply point out verses of Scripture that gave answers to those questions. And so it is a great boon from God to be able to help people that have troubling questions. They come and ask this. Divorce and remarriage, you tell them what Jesus said about it. What is going to happen when I'm buried and in the tomb? Why, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. What is heaven like? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. All of these things are here in God's Word. And as the Lord Jesus said, now, the Queen of Sheba came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And he said, a greater than Solomon is here. And I assure you this, you and I, a Sunday school scholar that has been taught the Word of God, the questions that men would ask today, the deep questions about heaven and hell and eternity, why a child would quote the Word of God and give answers to those questions. So, in this sense, a greater than Solomon is in the world to give answers to questions. The Lord Jesus is going back to heaven, but he gave answers when he was on earth, and he sent the Spirit of God from heaven, and the Spirit is guided into all truth. So all things that pertain to life and godliness, we are able to answer if we search the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. And so, a greater than Solomon is here. And we open the Word of God, and here are his words, the answers to questions. Do you remember the Sadducees came, and they said, why, there's no resurrection. And so they were asking him questions about eternal life and resurrection, and the Lord Jesus was able to answer that. So any question that man needs to know, the answer can be found in this book. And you say, but it does not cover these areas, then they are not as necessary to be answered. But everything that can send peace, satisfaction to a man's soul, they are to be found here. Now, when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, she came and gave him a gift that was worthy of a queen to a king. And when she went back home, she took back with her gifts worthy for a king to give a queen. And I'm thinking of this. Here are we, and if you and I come and seek to discover the wisdom of Christ, I promise you that all the questions that you have that need to be answered, they are here. And you will go back with a soul that is satisfied with the light of heaven that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this, that in everything you're enriched in Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, but also the best people in the world, even though we're filled with flaws and shortcomings, are the people of God. And it makes you a part of the family of God. The Lord Jesus said this prophetically in Psalm 16. He said, as for the saints that are in the earth, they are the excellent in whom is all my delight. And so the Lord Jesus took His delight from associating with the people of God and conversing with the people of God and teaching them and also fellowshipping with them. Remember this, that while the Lord Jesus always was giving, at the same time, He wanted to receive. Do you remember? The head of John, the head was on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is our Savior, whose love can be enjoyed. And it says that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. So all of these things are ours. And just as in the case of that generation, they would not come unto me, Christ said. You will not come unto me that you might have life. So there is this generation, and they will not come unto Christ that they might have life. And they will not come unto Christ and learn the spiritual answers from heaven, and therefore their soul is empty. And sad to say, there are things that trouble Christians. There are things that they want to know, and they will not search the scriptures that they might discover the answers, but they are there. God has Solomon for His generation, and He has Jesus Christ for His generation, and He has the Word of God and those teachers whom He has given for this generation. Let us avail ourselves of it, and let us, as she came from the end of the earth, at least go to the trouble of seeking out the hearing of the voice of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. You have told us that when Jesus moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, it said the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. We are thankful, our Father, that You've told us about light. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But our God, Thou hast told us, and we have learned somewhat about the judgment that is to come. Thou hast said that some who have availed themselves of the wisdom that comes from Solomon and the wisdom that comes from Jesus Christ, these shall witness against those who in their sloth and in their lack of concern and in their carelessness, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And so, our God, we pray that we shall indeed go, but also tell men their responsibility to seek out for themselves. So, our God, let us be faithful, and let us be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that's in us, nevertheless with meekness and fear. We thank You for the wisdom of Solomon, and we thank You for the wisdom of the greater than Solomon, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You in His name. Amen. The meeting is over.